This is the Warrior Mind Podcast, and I'm your host, Greg Swanson. Podcasting from beautiful Bend, Oregon, the Warrior Mind Podcast is a personal empowerment series that provides you the information required to develop a mindset of a warrior, maximize your human potential, and achieve peak performance. The Warrior Mind Podcast is produced every week for your enjoyment, and show notes and links can be found at www.warriormindcoach.com/blog. Please come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. If this is your first time listening, thanks for coming. If you're returning, thank you for your continued support. This is episode 389, and today we're going to be talking about what you can learn by doing MRF. Now, if you don't know what MRF is, if you've been listening to the podcast for any length of time, you know I'm very actively involved in CrossFit. And within CrossFit, there are these hero wads, which are just gigantic wads, and wad is a workout of the day to get done. And on Memorial Day, it's traditional, at least in the United States, and I would presume elsewhere, that on Memorial Day, there is a hero wad called MRF. Now, MRF was for Michael P. Murphy, who was killed in action in Afghanistan. And so these hero wads are a tribute to the individual that they're named after. So what MRF is, it's a mile run. The traditional way is to wear a weighted vest, about a 20-pound weighted vest. So you would do a mile run, 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 air squats, and then a mile run again. It sounds simple, but it's not. It's simple, but it's not easy. And so every Memorial Day over the holidays, we all participate in this. And what I would like to talk about is how MRF can represent something, even if you're not going to do it. And I would even suggest, if you don't even belong to a box, to go ahead and give this a go. Right? You can do push-ups anywhere. You can do air squats anywhere. You may have to find an outdoor gym or an outdoor playground to do your pull-ups, but you could run a mile anywhere. You can do your 100 pull-ups. You can do your 200 push-ups and your 300 air squats and run the mile again, just to see what that does to you. Because when we start to look at MRF, When you first do it, you look at it as, man, this is massive. How am I ever going to be able to get this done? And how we do anything is how we do everything. So what other areas of your life do you look at it and go, wow, this is massive. I don't know how I'm ever going to get it done. And this is what MRF can train us. It can help us examine our self-talk. It can help us examine our limiting beliefs. It can help us examine really what we're capable of. And again, you don't have to do it, but I would encourage you to do it. But look at other things that can push you really outside your comfort zone, way outside your comfort zone. So with MRF, some of the things that you can apply or learn from it is chunking it down. So chunk it down, meaning that, hey, don't look at doing all 100 at one time. So there's different ways of doing this, but you do have to run the mile. So even chunking that down, okay, let me run a quarter mile first. Now let me run another quarter mile. Let me run another quarter mile. So you set these, you chunk down the bigger pieces. So you don't stop. You just keep going. But in your mind, it's only one quarter, one quarter, one quarter. And then when you come to do your pull-ups, push-ups, and sit-ups, there's either you can break down the pull-ups in 10 sets of 10, or you can do 10 sets of 10 pull-ups, 20 push-ups, 30 air squats, do that 10 times, and then run the mile again. The point here is to start to think critically and strategically, and how can you break big things down into workable chunks. Again, if you have projects in your life, if you've wanted to do something, let's just say start a business or do some marketing or do whatever it might be, and you get overwhelmed, looking at MRF can be overwhelming. But when you take time to step away from it and start to break it down into manageable pieces, then it's like, I can do this. I can do 10 sets of this. So you start to build your confidence. And where else in life have you lost your confidence, where if you basically chunk things down to manageable pieces, you could go after it. The next thing which you can learn from doing MRF is now setting goals. So I recommend with any big things that take time to set three goals: your target, your reach, and your stretch. See, as humans, we tend to give as much energy necessary to reach the finish line, not go through it. I've seen this over and over again. When we're rowing, people are supposed to go to a 500-meter mark. They get to 490. They start to slow down, as opposed to giving it more when you do that. So if you have three sets of goals, you know, your target, your reach, and your stretch, you would want to shoot for the stretch. Now, the stretch may be 50 minutes, and your reach may be 55 minutes, and your target may be 60 minutes in getting this done. But I'm using MRF as an example, but I want you to take this and apply it to other things. The reason here is you want to have three goals: is you shoot for the eagle, you bag the pheasant, you don't eat crow. If you only have one goal and you miss it, one, it's okay. It's truly okay because you've at least went out and gave it an effort. But psychologically, we're going to feel bad about ourselves if we didn't hit it. So if we have three goals and we know we give as much energy as necessary to reach the finish line, and we use the stretch as our finish line, we're going to blow through the target and the reach. So this is true for other things. So let's just say, you know, you wanted to get a certain amount of things done over the weekend. Well, you go, well, I need to get a minimum of this, but really what I want to do is, you know, I want to get 10 things done, but I'm going to shoot for 15. So you keep shooting for 15. And even if you get 12, you got more than your 10. Right. So again, we tend to give as much energy as necessary to reach the finish line, whatever that may be, not go through it. So that's what MRF can teach, is we want to get three goals so that we can go through that. And then we want to create these micro goals. And this is one of the secrets of Navy SEALs when they're going through their training, is to get these micro goals. Now, let's say you're on this last mile and you're just completely exhausted. Well, a micro goal would be, let me just get to this telephone pole. Let me just get to this light post. Let me just get to this next corner. Let me just get, it gets really smaller. It's smaller than quarter miles. It's just, let me get to this fire hydrant. Okay, now let me get to this store, and you start breaking things down into micro goals so that you achieve that micro goal, right? When we achieve success, we feel good about ourselves. Well, you may not feel good while you're doing the second mile, but you definitely will feel encouraged that you can do it. So you keep getting these micro goals, and you keep setting micro goals. And again, this is true for anything, for doing your daily activity. If you wanted to, let's just say you're writing a book and you want to get 5 pages done in a day. Well, your first micro goal might be write a paragraph. I just want to get one paragraph done. Just get that done. Great. Now let me get one more. Now let me get one more. If you're in sales, and you want to make 50 calls during the day, like, oh my gosh, that's hard. Let me just make one call. Great. Let me make one more call. All of those are micro goals. And when you have these micro goals, they will inch you tiny, tiny steps closer as long as you continue. If you look at it as a big chunk, we can get ourselves overwhelmed. So even chunking it down, like we talked about in the first step, can still be overwhelming once you become exhausted, whether it's mentally, emotionally, or physically. So you need to have these micro goals to keep pushing you through. And then the fourth thing that we can learn from MRF is positive self-talk. Right away, when people start knowing it's coming up, there is, oh my gosh, this is going to be hard. This is going to be challenging. And some of that self-talk isn't necessarily bad if it inspires you to do your best. But if it inspires you to be exhausted before you even start, then that's not the appropriate self-talk to use. So even as we're running our first mile, we could be saying, God, this is so hard. That might not be the best way to run your first mile in this. Just like writing a book in this first page, like, oh, this is going to take me forever to get this book written. That's not positive, encouraging self-talk. What we need to do is change that self-talk so it is positive and encouraging. And let's say you're doing your fifth set of 10 pull-ups. You create a rhythm. You create some sort of a rhythm and go, I got this, boom, boom, boom. I got this, boom, boom, boom. And you do one at a time. One at a time is a micro goal. Again, with, let's just say you're making sales calls. You get into a rhythm. I got this. Make one call. You talk to them. Sit back, breathe. I got this. Pick up the phone, make another call. Sit back, breathe. I got this. And you get into a rhythm. And pretty soon this rhythm just puts you into a state of trance, if you will. And then you're able to just go through those pain points and go through. And sometimes cold calling is painful. Sometimes writing page after page after page in a book is painful because we'd rather be doing other things. Running a mile after doing all of that work can be painful. And if we watch and monitor our self-talk, because our body and our mind are always connected. So if we start using talk that is disempowering and negative, we're going to actually be draining energy from our body. And it's going to get harder and harder. And we're going to go, this is getting harder and harder. And we're going to go, yep, you're right. It is getting harder and harder because you're affirming it. So with self-talk, when we're faced with a daunting task, we want to make sure, hey, this is going to be fun, right? A lot of people will start Murph and be nervous. But when I work with them, we tell them, hey, what's the difference between nervous and excited within your body? The energy is in the same spot. The vibration is the same. The intensity is the same. It's just how we label it. Nervous is basically anticipating something's going to go wrong. Excitement is like, this is going to be fun. Some people love roller coasters and they go, man, this is so much fun. But yet you ask them where the feeling is, et cetera, and you put them in something that they don't like. Let's just say bungee jumping, and they're going to go, I'm nervous, I'm scared. And you ask them to describe the energy where it's located, exact same place, exact same feeling. It's just labeled incorrectly. So we want to start looking at the self-talk that we have and then change it around so it's empowering, so we can push through any mental or physical or emotional obstacles. So there you have it. What Murph can teach us. Murph, and again, I would encourage you to go out there and just see what you are made of. Even if you don't belong to a box, just see what you're made of. Go track out a mile. If you can't measure a mile, run for 9 minutes. And then start doing your pull-ups, start doing your push-ups, start doing your air squats, and then run a mile again. So the second mile, you may need to run for 14 minutes, if you don't know where that mile is. But do that. I would really encourage you to do that. If you can't do that, think of something that you want to do that is you've been holding back because it seems daunting to you. And then go through these steps of breaking them down, of setting micro goals, of watching your positive self-talk, and creating a plan for you to conquer whatever this massive project is or break out of your comfort zone. Now, I've put down How to Survive Murph where this podcast is hosted, and that's warriormindcoach.com/blog. So if you want to read some of that, it's there for you. But my challenge for you is to do it as a metaphor for other things in life. Go ahead and take the challenge, take the Murph challenge, and do it as a metaphor for life and see how much mentally stronger you will get. See how much braver you will get. See how much more courageous you will get for other things in your life. Thanks for listening to the Warrior Mind Podcast. If you liked what you've heard, please tell your friends and subscribe by your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. Also, make sure you check out www.warriormindtraining.com. Until next time, live with courage. And remember, every facet, every compartment of your mind is to be programmed by you. And unless you take your rightful responsibility to program your own mind, the world will program it for you.